Glad to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and my next guest, Michael Perry, is in the studio with me. He's a best-selling author, humorist, musician, radio host, first responder, intermittent pig farmer, and a playwright. And I took some family and friends to the play, and just absolutely loved it. And I really like his latest book. It's called Montaigne in Barn Boots, An Amateur Ambles Through Philosophy. Oh, what do Michael and a French philosopher who was born, I think, in 1533, what do they have in common? We're going to find that out. And we're going to talk with Michael, and certainly you'll have a chance to join in. Why do you enjoy Michael's work? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. Number's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Michael Perry, great to have you back.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
If I'm counting right, this is the third book you have released this year. How did that come about?
Self-employed, got kids.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I had, I'm out right now touring for Montaigne in Barn Boots. And then I also just about within the last couple of months, released a book called Danger, Man Working with the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, which is a collection of my freelance work over the last decade or so. Everything from stories about me climbing Mount Rainier with a couple of wounded veterans from Iraq to stories about being a dad, and a whole section on spirituality and music, and a very short little piece that I've been doing live at events about a very difficult incident involving some poison ivy.
Well, and that is the nonfiction hardcover list. Danger Man Working is number one on the nonfiction paperback list. And I see Montaigne debuted at number three on the nonfiction hardbook list. And Population 485. And when did you write that? It's number six.
That's amazing. Population 485 and the Jesus Cow both popped up on the charts this week, because I guess I've been out hammering the other ones so much. But Population 485, I mean, I just wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that book. And that came out in October of 2002. I don't even care to do the math, but there it is again. Yeah, I'm very lucky. And the Montaigne being at number three, that's great. It's been out for less than a week, so... that's the Midwest Indie List, and those folks have been real good to me.
Well, I have to tell you, first Montaigne, I have not read Montaigne very much. I'll tell you a little story, though. I was reading the book in the office, and I was kind of leaning back, and I had my hands on the cover of the book, and my department head, Dominique Brossard, who is from France, mm-hmm. came in, and she saw the top of the book that the cover has Montaigne across the top. And she said, "Oh, are you a fan of Montaigne? He's one of my favorite writers."
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, "Well, I haven't read Montaigne, but I'm reading a little bit about Montaigne, and the author is Michael Perry." And so I showed her the entire cover of the book, and she said, "Oh, Montaigne and Barn Boots. Can I borrow that when you're finished?"
Oh, perfect.
So she's number one thing was, you talk in the book about how to pronounce Montaigne.
Yes.
And she, I thought, somebody born in France, raised on a dairy farm, a really smart lady, pronounce it Montaigne. I'm going to go with Montaigne too. And you went with Montaigne.
I did. I have a whole paragraph in the introduction, I believe it is, of the book on how should we pronounce his name. And it's that tricky business of you certainly want to be respectful of the original culture. But you also, man, if you're from Chippewa County, you can really mangle it too. And so I said, for this moment, I'm going with Montaigne.
Well, share with us about how you were introduced to Montaigne and how you came to put this book together.
Well, as a writer, I'm embarrassed to say that I discovered Montaigne thanks to a kidney stone. I should say that I discovered him because I was reading him to try and become a better writer. But I had a kidney stone many years ago, and I described this in the introduction. I was on the gurney in the ER doing the math on what this was going to cost me because, of course, like a lot of self-employed folks, I was self-insured as well and had a monster deductible. And at the time, I was writing for a magazine that did articles about health. And so I thought, well, maybe I could convince them to pay me to write an article about kidney stones and we can defray the cost of this little adventure. And indeed, they agreed to do that. I remember actually calling the editor right from the ER. And so over the next couple of weeks, I kept a lot of notes about my experience until, as I say in the book, I peed out the devil's own gobstopper. And then, of course, I started doing actual research and reading medical journal articles. And one of the things that I found was that these urologists, there were these very technical articles, very scientific articles, but they always want to find a way to make them interesting in the beginning. And they were citing this French philosopher, Montaigne. And it turns out that he was horribly afflicted with kidney stones. And so I, just by virtue of that, I read the parts about the kidney stones. Then I found out he wrote an essay about his thumb. And then he wrote essays. He wrote essays
about
everything.
Everything.
Yeah. And so I got drawn in by that and read him over the years. I read him like a chicken, as I say. I have a whole chapter about my, you know, here and there, scattered bits and pieces. It's like when you throw feed out to the chickens, they can't settle on one place. They grab something here and then like, oh no, the good stuff's over here. And then they go to the other place. And that's how I read him, very much by chance over the years. And then at some point I just thought, well, there I am. You know, people have built their entire careers off of just one of his essays. And here I am, some knucklehead reading him in my deer stand. And I thought, you know, I think the world needs to hear what I think. And the publisher consented. And so here we are.
Yeah. And it's a book about you. And
it's a, well, yeah, I said, there's a line in here that I'm talking about studying yourself. You know, Montaigne said that the writer, I quote very early on, I quote the writer Ta-Nehisi Coates, who says that his job as a writer his responsibility as a writer is to interrogate his own truths. And Montaigne had a similar line about if you're going to address your own contradictions, you should look narrowly into your own bosom. And those two things, I thought, created some sort of play off each other. And so I thought, well, I'll give it a shot and I'll see where we go. And I wound up writing another memoir. And as I said in the book, at one point I was writing about people being self-centered and that the selfie stick is the emblem that is that absolutely sums up our self-absorbed society. And I was saying this from a stage when I realized in real time that I was currently writing my fifth memoir, which is the selfie stick of books. So I had to eat my own words in real time. But then I just followed Montaigne's lead and wrote about whatever seemed to come up and things that I found very similar, things that I found very dissimilar. There's chapters on shame and marriage, and it's a different book. Some, I don't know that all my readers are going to love
are you
going to
like
see.
It? I liked it a lot. You know, it's kind of about the human condition.
I hope. And you know, the biggest thing about this book is right in the dedication. I said I dedicated it to those willing to approach conversation with something less than a steamroller. And one of my favorite things about Montaigne is he'll go on and on about something, but then he almost always has this little coda where he goes, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
And man, oh man, I long for that right now. Yeah. You just long for discussions with people who you may not be on the same page, but you can at least have this discussion. And that's really what Montaigne was in discussion with himself. And
yeah, and it's a chapter in your book on talking about intersectionality. I think it is. Is that, or did
yes,
I say that wrong?
No, it's a chapter called Roughneck Intersectionality, and intersectionality is a very specific term that I discovered thanks to an academic named Dr. Tressie McMillan Cottom. And I say that it is a very specific term to make clear that I almost immediately wander off the yard of academia with it, partly humorously, but partly with respect too. And then I just talk about, you know, in my case, the chapter leads off with, I said, Michel de Montaigne died in 1592, so he was unable to attend the 2013 Augusta Bean and Bacon Day's Demolition Derby. But me and my daughters were there, and we had a great time.
Oh.
And so then I talk about how 3 days previous to that, we took our daughters to the Shakespeare Festival in Winona, Minnesota. And how they had a wonderful time at both places. And then I talked to them about how in Shakespeare's time, the groundlings paid a penny to stand on shucked nutshells in the pit and drink beer and yell at the actors at a Shakespeare play. And my point to them was, you know, you can enjoy culture on a sliding scale, including down there where it's greasy.
Well, I want to spend a little time on this at some point during our conversation. But there, one of the quotes that I said, boy, is that me. If I am a man, Montaigne said, if I'm a man of some reading, I am a man of no retention.
Man, I still remember the first day I read that, and I just felt like my heart got wings. Because one of the great tribulations as a writer for me is that I love to read, and that's how I learned to write, was by ear, just reading and reading and reading and reading. But man, I can finish a novel, and within 5 minutes, if you ask me about the protagonist or the plot, I just can't summon it. And it's the same with nonfiction. I have to reread and reread constantly and take notes that I can refer to. Whereas I have friends and acquaintances who can quote great passages. They can talk, they can break down a novel in all of its component parts. And I've always felt very stupid about that. And then here's this guy who wrote this stuff I love, and he just comes right out and goes, yeah, man, I can't remember anything.
And I'm holding up for you to see some notes that I take, because I'm in the same, I have authors like you on the show, and I'll read a book and I'll get to and I'll say, I am never going to forget this. And 2 pages later,
right,
I am trying to remember what I said I would never forget.
Well, and I have a whole chapter in here on absent-mindedness. And and in Montaigne's time, if you were forgetful, you were considered to be stupid. It was a man of no memory is a man of no knowledge, something along those lines. And I just write about like the time that I was loading up my van to go play some shows and do some readings.
I burst out laughing when I read that.
And I said, and my wife is 10 years younger than I, and I sometimes worry that she's just waiting, you know, for the chance to put me under professional supervision. And I'm loading up the van, and I just keep telling myself over and over, don't forget the cash box. Don't forget the cash box. And so I load up the van with all the music gear and books. I make it 40 yards out the driveway and realize I forgot the cash box. And I slam the van into park, and I run back, and I'm kind of angry. And I go in the office, and I get the cash box, and then I jump in the car and I head out the driveway, only to find my way blocked by the van that I just left idling not 60 seconds ago. And I said, I looked back at the kitchen window, and I can see my wife standing there, and I'm thinking, dude, she's just gonna start the paperwork, man.
You know what? Marilyn on Facebook said she heard you speak on Sunday at Arcadia Books in Spring Green, and bought your latest book you have a gift for turning mundane, albeit painful, experiences into hilarity. And we'll take that up.
Okay.
We'll take that up. But first, we need to take a look at the news and the weather and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Visiting with Michael Perry about his latest book, Montaigne in Barn Boots. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here and talking today with Michael Perry. Michael has a lot of books out right now, as a matter of fact. But the book we're spending perhaps a little more time on than the others is his latest that's just out. Been out maybe a week or two. It's called Montaigne in Barn Boots, An Amateur Ambles Through Philosophy. And if you say, oh, no philosophy, I tell you what, you're going to laugh a lot, and you're going to be given an entree into Michael that you may not have known about in the past. And I tell you what, it's a really interesting read and a fun read, and I'm glad to have him with us to talk about it today. You may have a question or comment about that book, or maybe about one of his other books. As I was saying earlier, his Danger Man Working is number one on the nonfiction paperback list. So it's doing really well, too, as are a couple of his other books. So you can join in no matter what at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. And I've got to tell you, we were talking about Montaigne's quote, if I'm a man of some reading, I'm a man of no retention. Well, I was just sitting here trying to remember what I said just before our break that I was going to come back to, and I couldn't remember.
Exhibit A. Exhibit. I have to read that chapter again.
I have to read that. You know, Jill Nadeau said, you know what? The way to read this book is to read a chapter and then sit down and think about it.
Oh, that's lovely. The idea that someone would take that time with something you've written is wonderful. In fact, that's how most people read Montaigne.
Yeah. You know,
that's a big old honking book of essays he left behind. There's 107 of them, I think.
Yeah.
And you can dip in and read one and reflect on it. He also goes all over the place. He's forever wandering off on tangents, which I really relate to. I mean, the title of the essay isn't always indicative of where you're going to wind up.
Where are you going to wind up?
But I enjoy that.
And, you know, you use, there's so many wonderful quotes from him, and most of those are not direct quotes.
Right. I don't speak French, and so the original obviously is in French, and there are all kinds of different translations. And I talk about that, too, in one of the chapters. When an amateur like me comes stumbling along, I have to rely on these translations. And when you really start dipping into it, as I did, of course, not only are there translations, there are many translations, and you find out that the academics who truly study these things, and I can't stress enough, I want to make this accessible and have fun, but there's this, I have a section in here where I address this whole silly anti-intellectual thing, and it's like, no, we need the academics doing this hard work. And one of the things that I enjoyed about the academics is you start reading them and they criticize the different translations. You know, this translation is better than that, and they often refer to the translators by just their last name, so it's even more insidery. You know, it's like NFL Today or something. But it's fun even for a guy like me to read the different translations and see how they differ and which ones speak to me more. But then, of course, that begs the question, which translator should I trust, and am I even equipped to do that? It's all part of the reflection when you do a book like this.
Well, the one thing that I like, or one thing that I found in myself in reading the book, is that I do not do enough thinking about myself. And you didn't force me, but I found myself reading about what you had written about things like shame or things like forgetfulness sort of your whole spot on this earth, and gave me a chance to reflect on my own life, and that was a wonderful experience.
Well, I think a lot of that stuff is uncomfortable, but Montaigne also said that, and I can't quote him directly here, but that it was when he was at his lowest that he most looked to those who were heroic in their actions. And of the things in my life that I'm ashamed of or where I feel I really made a misstep, out of that shame comes compassion, ultimately, because you come to understand that, no, I'm pretty vulnerable, and so I should maybe give the other guy a little consideration when he or she messes up, you know, because I could be next. Like, it's that whole idea of flying low to the ground because we're all going to fall and you just don't want to have so far to fall.
Yeah.
And he was good at that. I mean, making fun of himself, poking fun at himself, but also some fairly heavy, serious things. And I write about some of that stuff in my life. The other thing is, for instance, I have a whole section on panic attacks and anxiety and really freaking out at 3 a.m. when you think you're not going to be able to pay the mortgage. And part of the reason I put that in there is because one of the people I was talking to about it was my brother, who's a real roughneck working class guy, and we were talking about this, and I realized those conversations don't always take place when they should. You know, there are folks out there that think they're not supposed to admit to that stuff, and indeed you find out you have more in common than you thought, including your weaknesses.
And you write about, you say in your book, in the book at some point, you say you write about things that you normally wouldn't talk about in conversation.
Yeah, and then one of the joys, again, of Montaigne. So, and I have a couple of examples in there that we probably can't actually share on the air. But there are these things where, and I write so many things that I forget. And so then I'm at this very lovely literary event, and a gentleman puts his book down to be signed and then leans in and says, "How is your blank?" And it's this terribly personal thing. And I just was aghast. I said, "How did you know about that?" And he said, "Well, you wrote about it." And I said, "Well, I shouldn't have." But Montaigne himself said, and he started out as a stoic, small s and big s, and was trying to figure out how to be noble and die a dignified death and all that. And he journeyed away from that in time. But I come from that Scandinavian background. I don't want to talk about my feelings, and you can't make me. But when it's 3 a.m. and you're desperate and you need to pay the mortgage, and you all of a sudden you open up your chest and you write about whatever it takes that will find an audience. And so Montaigne himself said, "There are things I don't tell my friends, my deepest personal secrets. I don't tell my friends. I tell them to go to a bookstore because that's where they are." And I remember going, "Oh, there you go. Yeah."
That's me all over. Marty in Lake Nabagamon, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good afternoon to you both. I do have a question. The preface, however, may not sound very positive, but stick with it. I know you've interviewed Michael several times over the years, and I confess I've not paid a lot of attention to those interviews. But a couple weeks ago, I was talking to some friends whose book recommendations I always follow up on, and I asked, "What are you reading?" And they said, "Oh, our book club just finished Population 485 by Michael Perry." I said, "Oh, I know who Michael Perry is," and got the book. I'm just about finished with it. I don't do this very often with books I read, but I have written down a phrase from the book that really struck me. You were going to dance performances by a couple of gentlemen, and you write, "There are times in that studio when I feel the husk fall right off my soul." I can hardly say that without choking up. That is such a beautiful turn of phrase. So I'm recommending this to my book club next year when we're starting over with new books. A more amazing group of 12 women who cook like geniuses you will never meet. I'm wondering if you would ever come to Lake Nabagamon to a meeting of a book club in perhaps July of next year, maybe the third Monday.
Ah, very good. So I love talking to book groups and book clubs. The only caveat I'm going to offer is that I'm on the road 80 to 100 days a year already, and I have a real hard time making it to every request I get. But what I can tell you is if you go to my website, sneezingcow.com, over on the left-hand side, there's a little drop-down menu, and there's a segment that says Book Mike. And if you send an email through that, that's the place to start. And even if I can't make it there, we can often arrange. I do a lot of book club visits via Skype or even just on the phone. And even if it's just a half an hour, we have a great time. And I very much enjoy that. I also, book clubs, I regularly offer my gratitude for book clubs because I'm a word of mouth guy. My career has been built on a few people reading my books and talking to a few other people. And book clubs have been central to that. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for this book. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I think you're going to enjoy Montaigne and Barn Boots as well. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. And Lucy emailed to say she's always enjoyed your Big Top Chautauqua and she reads your, as I do, in your column in the Wisconsin State Journal, and she picked up Truck, A Love Affair, a couple of years ago and was so impressed with it. With the way it is a novel with equal parts reverence for the locals you lived with and appreciation for their humorous doings. Population 485 gave her a new appreciation for her dad, a retired EMT, and that person's years of experience.
No, that's that's lovely. I mean, as far as the locals, I'm still one of them. You know, I grew up on a farm north of New Auburn, Wisconsin. I went back after 12 years away, and was on the fire department there for another 12 years. And then now we live on a farm in rural Falkirk, Wisconsin. Still get up to New Auburn a bunch. But, I'm always, of course, respectful of where I'm from and the folks who informed my childhood and raised me.
And you call yourself a roughneck. You go through in the book, you talk about redneck versus roughneck and that sort of thing.
Yeah, these are some of the sections of the book that I'm nervous about. They're, that not everyone's going to agree with me, but I write in there about how I grew up calling myself a redneck because that's who I felt I was. I associated that with a certain type of hardworking blue-collar person. And I write in the book about how my feelings about that word have changed. If someone else wants to use it, that's okay, but I choose... roughneck now because that's what my dad called us, and I think some of the associations with the other word, they make me uncomfortable with it now. So.
Yeah. Tim in Oconomowoc, thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. This is Tim. I saw you last night at Books and Company on Oconomowoc, and we talked a little bit about your footnotes.
Oh, yeah.
Could you talk about the footnotes a little more? I really enjoyed it, and I'll take my answer off the air.
You know, that's one of the fun things about reading this book. The footnotes are great.
So this is, I don't think Tim has any idea how much he made my night last night because I wanted so badly to write a book with footnotes. And so this book has footnotes, and my editor made me cut about half of them, and she was right. But they are so fun, and to have someone come up to me last night and say their favorite part of the book was the footnotes. And it's kind of my little second voice going on, answering myself even. And I used them, hopefully, in times to expand. You know, there were times, for instance, when I mentioned Montaigne's best friend, and I only mentioned him a couple of times. And so I use a footnote to say, honestly, this was a huge part of his life. You really need to read more about this. But then on the other hand, I'll do things like I know that there's a grammatical error. Yeah, I switched I and me like I often do because of where I'm from and how I talk. And I just put a footnote in there, and I said, it's how I talk. Save your letters.
Well, I do that too sometimes, and I get the occasional email from someone saying, you know, you said
here's the deal
me on, when you should have said I.
Here's the deal on that. So I love it when people send me emails or notes and they find errors in the book. I've already found two in the Montaigne book, and what I do, and I will be doing that within the next week, is I go onto my sneezingcow.com, and I have a tag called Oops. And when I find an error, I'm happy to publicize it. And I'm also grateful when someone calls or, as I said, contacts me. The only caveat I have to that is don't pull a gotcha. I mean, if you come down and you go, well, I had someone on the I, me thing once emailed me and said, I can't believe you call yourself an author. And I was like,
oh.
Well, you know what? You just, that's fine. I will press on. So I'm starting to babble. But the point is, I love it when people point out errors and I can correct them. I just, not too
I had one like that on the I and Me, and I said, you know, I'm on the air 240 days a year for 90 minutes live, and so sometimes I'm going to say.
Well, I can take it myself. I deserve every criticism I get, but where I get defensive is that there's an editor that goes through this thing so many times. There are copy editors who are, it's a thankless job, and they find so many errors and save me from myself. But we're talking about hundreds of thousands of words, and they miss one, then I say, well, you can't pounce on them. Pounce on me if you want. But
Timothy on Facebook said he's read Montaigne, and his essay on friendship is his personal favorite. It helped him through a rough patch with the death of a friend.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Honestly, I don't always know what to say in those cases. That's the part where, like I said, you're always worried about... when you're writing memoir, you're writing about yourself a lot, and that's tricky because it can get boring pretty soon. It can get self-centered and egocentric. I always remember the writer Darcy Frey, who told me one time, if you use the word I, it should be transparent. It should be a way for someone to see something else. And so if in any way what I wrote about friendship can help him, I'm just grateful. Mom would say, just say thank you, Mike.
And go from there.
Yeah.
Jan and Eau Claire, we turn to you next. Hi, Jan.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, appreciate your call. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I love all of Mike's books, but my favorite passage from one of his books is from his, I can't even remember the name of his book, it was the book on essays, and the the title of the essay was Branding God. And it's one of my favorites, and the most I quote this often when I'm talking to friends about religion, and if somebody says they know what happens after death, I come back with the quote that you had, that there is but one truth, and it is infinitely complex. And whether they agree with it or not, it makes them think. And I just love using that quote.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's the last essay in the collection Off Main Street, which came out a long time ago. But those are recurring themes with me. I was raised a fundamentalist Christian, and I'm very open about the fact now that I'm a bumbling agnostic with traces of amateur existentialism. But I always try to write about those things respectfully and honestly, and there's a whole chapter on faith in Montaigne. Yeah, Montaigne was a Catholic, and I'm just glad. Again, the Montaigne book, it stresses this over and over. We have plenty of declarations in the world. I'm not here to make any declarations. I also said this, the Montaigne book is written in a spirit of exploration rather than declaration.
Yeah. Here, we're skipping all around like we do sometimes. Andrew emailed to say that his daughter is on her second time through your book, The Scavengers. And are there any plans for a sequel? It's one of her kids' favorites.
Hey, I'm glad that he asked that question, because the answer is yes, there is a sequel. I just got an email from my editor yesterday
saying, where is it?
To confirm that fact. She insisted even on establishing some hard dates. And so what I can tell them is that the rough draft of the Scavenger sequel is due March, and then it will be revised, and it is scheduled to be published in early 2019.
So you have to promise me you'll come back and talk with me about that book.
Well, I'm always ready to talk about my books.
Oh, my goodness me. Well, you know, and this whole business about deadlines, you have a very personal chapter, I think, in some ways about what you have to go through sometimes. And here's something you love, but sometimes it's something you love, but you just can't
up
with it.
The first thing I want to do when I get up in the morning is write. I can't believe that I'm allowed to do what I'm doing. I'm so grateful. And coming from my background too, just on the farm and never was a consideration. But that doesn't mean that some days you're not quite literally freaked out. And I have that whole thing in there about panic attacks and anxiety. But the other thing that I always feel like I need to bring up is that everybody's got that, you know, self-employed, whether you're a self-employed farmer, whether you're working the night shift at the mill, we all have things where sometimes we feel like we're way in over our head and we don't know how we're going to do it. And that's, again, part of why I just wanted to write honestly about that. Not so much to be confessional, but to say, hey, we're all kind of in this thing together.
Yeah.
And Montaigne said the same thing. Again, this is why you always tend to relate to him. I mean, he said he couldn't wait. He retired at 38.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he had some cash and a vineyard and a castle, so that helped. But he retired at 38 to do nothing but write. And he found himself pretty quickly panicking because he didn't really know what to do now that he'd given himself all that time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's really an interesting book. And as I said, for me, it was, I'm actually going to read it again because I kept every chapter. I was applying my own life
sure
to what your own experiences and to Montaigne's experiences. And so it was,
I hope so. It's definitely one of those books. Again, this gets back to trying to write the transparent eye, is that I'm far less interested in whether people think I'm right or wrong than in how they just reacted to the book and to Montaigne in general.
You have an event coming up tonight, actually, don't you?
That's yeah.
That's a whole different thing at one of my favorite places, the Stoughton Opera House.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the Stoughton Opera House tonight, and in part I'll be talking about the Montaigne book and doing some humor from Danger Man working as well. But then I also just, those events, I just wander off and start telling stories and find out where we end up. Yeah.
And do you have other book signings or anything going on for you?
Yeah, I'm actually heading home tomorrow morning, and then I'm going to Michigan next week and down by Chicago, And then I'm going to kind of hunker down. I got to work on that scavenger's book. And I got a bunch of other stuff coming up, too. Like next January, we're doing the Population 485 play in Oconomowoc and Oshkosh. And then in March, we're doing it in Viroqua. And then, yeah, like I think I mentioned earlier to one of the callers, I'm on the road a ton. But yeah. SneezingCow.com always has the details. That's where I check to see where I'm supposed to be.
SneezingCow.com. Michael Perry, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Michael Perry's latest book is called Montaigne in Barn Boots, An Amateur Ambles Through Philosophy. Tent Show Radio.
I always want to mention I'm doing Tent Show Radio, too, every weekend. You
should
bet.
Always yeah. mention that. Michael Perry, our guest, he will be back. He promised me he was going to be on the air with me when that next book comes out, and so we will have him to talk about that book, too. Thank you all for listening, and please do stay with us. We've got lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.